I hate to tell you this, but it turns out that traditional bed sheets can harbor more bacteria than a toilet seat. I know, very disgusting. Not only is it extremely gross, but it also leads to acne, allergies, and stuffy noses. Miracle Made offers a whole line of self-cleaning, antibacterial bedding, such as sheets, pillowcases, and comforters that prevent up to 99.7% of bacteria growth and require up to 3 times less laundry. If you get hot at night, you'll appreciate Miracle Made's self-cooling properties, which makes use of silver-infused fabrics inspired by NASA. If it's good enough for the astronauts, it's good enough for me. They are thermoregulating and designed to keep you at the perfect temperature all night long. It makes a huge difference in getting better sleep every night. If you hate sleeping in bacteria, which I'm sure you do, or you're looking to get rid of your worn and uncomfortable bedding, you should check out Miracle Made. You'll feel like you're tucked into a luxurious hotel fancy bedding situation, but it'll be a lower cost than some of those other brands. Go to trymiracle.com/thestacks to try Miracle Made sheets for you or a lucky loved one. Order today and save over 40%. Plus, if you use our promo code THESTACKS at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product that it's backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. If you aren't 100% satisfied, you will get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiraclemade.com/thestacks and use the code THESTACKS to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/thestacks to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to The Stacks. I am your host here, Tracy Thomas. This week is The Stacks Book Club. We're talking about Shonda Rhimes' book, The Year of Yes, with our guest, Ashley North. But before we do that, I do have some things to tell you about. First thing, super exciting, don't skip ahead. We have a giveaway for The Stacks tote bags. Here's how it works. If you go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/thestacks, and contribute whatever you can to this show to help keep the lights on, to keep the show running, to keep the website up, you're entered to win a tote bag. I'm going to give away 3 of them. They're super cute. You can see them on our Instagram at thestackspod or on Facebook, The Stacks. You can see pictures of the totes. All you have to do is become a Stacks Pack member, aka contribute on Patreon. If you're already contributing, you're already entered to win. If you're not contributing, there's no better time than the present. So go to the Stacks or go to patreon.com/thestacks, contribute what you can. Know that I love you forever and ever for doing that, and that I really appreciate you and that you're keeping independent content running, and it's just really awesome, and I'm so grateful for anybody who can contribute. Okay, that's that. Oh, also our most recent The Stacks Pack member is Karen Salgado Mojica. So thank you so much, Karen. Okay, subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to us right now if you haven't done that yet. Also, make sure that you rate and review the show if you're listening to us through iTunes. You know I love reminding you to do this. It really means a lot and it helps the show so much. I can't stress that enough. Our most recent review comes from Becky Vicky. They say, Tracy is so entertaining and her variety of guests keep the episodes fresh. The Stacks has 100% reignited my love for books and the show notes are invaluable in adding to my ever-expanding TBR list. I've never been one for nonfiction, but Tracy has inspired me to read outside of my comfort zone. Thank you. We obviously want to say thank you so much to Becky Vicky for sharing their thoughts on the show. Also, we love hearing that you guys are checking things out that we've talked about on the show. So if you've read something or added something to your TBR, let us know, add us, slide into our DM, send us an email, whatever it is. It's so awesome to see, and I will definitely share it on our social media channels because it's fun to find out that, you know, a book that was talked about on the show by so-and-so is now your new favorite book. So definitely share that information with us. Okay, that's that. Let's talk about this week. Ashley North is back. She's a celebrity stylist, TV personality, and the CEO of her own lifestyle brand called AN Style. AN Style just launched its candle line, and I'm not being a, you know, I'm not lying to you when I tell you that the candles smell amazing. The black one is my favorite. I have it. I have the white one too, which I really like, but the black one is just like my jam. You can get that candle on shopandstyle.com. That is in the show notes, along with everything else we talk about, including all of our social media handles, where you can find us, the Patreon, Audible, everything. It's all there in the show notes. Also, we're going to be spoiling this book just a little bit. It's nonfiction, so there's not really spoilers, but if you want to know like exactly how Shonda's year unfolds on your own time, I would say read the book, then come back. Otherwise, you can definitely listen. Okay, the book this week is Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes. It's the year that Shonda decided to stop being afraid of everything, stop being so anxious, stop being worried about what people would think, and start saying yes to the things that totally freaked her out. It's her journey, and it's really awesome. Ashley and I both enjoyed the book, and you'll hear our full conversation right now. Enjoy. Hi, guys. I'm here today again with Ashley North, celebrity stylist, TV personality, and CEO of her own lifestyle brand. And this week is the Stacks Book Club episode. We're talking about Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes. Ashley, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
I'm so excited you're back. More giggles. Sorry, Mom. Don't yell.
Just kidding.
Literally rolling her eyes right now in her car.
Like, for sure.
These jerks. So the Year of Yes is by Shonda Rhimes, who is television producer extraordinaire on ABC. She's the creator of Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, Private Practice, that show The Catch, which I didn't watch, but she did that too. And this book is all about the year she decided to say yes to all the things that scared her or made her uncomfortable, or that she just would say no to just because. So it's kind of her, it's her memoir about this year. It ends up being like 18 months, I think she says, but that's the premise of the book. So Ash, what did you think of it?
So I loved it. I hated it. Like, I think that there were parts that really resonated with me, and there were other parts that I was like, okay, Shonda.
Yeah.
So overall, I loved it, and I'm glad that I read it. I think that there, the parts that really resonated, they resonated very strongly with me. And so it was worth it for just even those parts.
I agree. I felt like in the beginning, I was couldn't quite get into it because the writing style is very Shonda show.
It was very Olivia Pope.
Sure.
In your face.
It was very Scandal. You're right.
Yeah.
It's because it was written almost like short sentences and then into these paragraphs, into these short sentences where she would get on a topic and it would be like badassery. And then it would be like, I'm going to be badass. And this is badassery. So then I went to the store and I did this and that and this. And I thought to myself, I'm a badass. And so it was like this repetitive, if you've watched a Shonda show, you've experienced these kind of like monologues.
For
so
sure.
At first I couldn't quite connect.
Get it. Yeah.
And then once she got into her year of yes, I was like, yeah,
yes,
let's go. I'm on board.
Yeah.
And then towards the end, it fizzled a little bit for me.
It did.
Because I think the things that she saw the biggest change in her life, she kind of put those things earlier. And then towards the end, it seemed like she kind of threw in some last little like, also, I noticed this.
Yeah.
Also, I noticed that. And so it kind of ended like a slow simmer out as opposed to like a real tight ending.
Yeah.
But I also liked it. I'm glad that I read it. It reminded me actually of the book that we read a few weeks ago for the Stacks Book Club, which was That Power of Habit, which was more of like a pop psychology book about habits and how we make them and why we make them and how we change them. And then this kind of felt like the practical, like one person's application of it.
Yeah.
Because she basically decided anytime I would say no to something because it freaked me out, I'm going to say yes. And it started because her sister basically was like, you never say yes to anything, or you always say no, or I can't remember what.
I love her sister. I don't even know her, but
Dolores.
Her. Yeah.
Love Dolores.
She's a G.
She was really cool.
Yeah.
And so basically Shonda had like a freak out and was like, okay, I'm going to say yes to everything. And on her birthday, she texted her friend and was like, I'm saying yes to everything. And she told her publicist and she told her family so that they would hold her accountable. And it started with her, you know, saying yes to going on Jimmy Kimmel and doing a graduation speech. And then it led her to, wait, before I spoil this whole show, we're going to talk about everything that happens in the book. If you don't want it to be spoiled, you shouldn't listen now. You should read the book and then come back.
Yeah.
It's nonfiction, so it's not super spoilery.
Nah.
But just in case. So she goes on Kimmel, shows that, and it leads to her losing weight and connecting with her kids and a bunch of other really cool stuff that I was excited and inspired by, even though I don't have kids.
Yeah, and it was even more inspiring for me, I think, too, because I do have kids.
Right.
And, like, seeing, you know, I love to hear from other working moms, like, how they feel. And, like, you know, to know that there's, like, this sisterhood of working mothers that share the same guilts. And, you know, so that was the part that really resonated with me, and I loved that.
And she spends a lot of time on motherhood. And we will spend a good amount of time on motherhood as well, because I think it really is – I don't think of Shonda Rhimes as being a mother. Like, that's not how what I think of when I think of her. And
I had no idea.
This book changed a lot about how I look at her as a human. Because, well, I guess we'll talk about it a little bit now. We'll change our plan.
Okay.
So Shonda Rhimes, if you don't know this, Shonda's also a black woman. If you didn't know that,
You're stupid.
Where are you living?
Get off the podcast.
You're not stupid, but, like, have you been living under a rock? I don't know. Anyways, Shonda Rhimes is a black lady. And she
dominates Thursday nights.
Dominates Thursday nights with all those amazing shows. She's never been married, doesn't want to get married, is a, for classification purposes, is a single mother, but she talks, she addresses that as well. While she doesn't have, you know, a husband or a partner, she does have a lot of help and a family that lives very close, and she has a nanny, life nanny for her and her kids named Jenny McCarthy.
She's
and,
great.
Which is great. She also obviously has drivers and assistants and all these other things. So she is a single mom. You know, when the night lights go out at night, it's her and the girls. She has three daughters, two of which were adopted and one, I believe, was through surrogacy.
Yeah.
But I think when I think of Shonda, I think of, you know, a black executive TV woman, and I never thought of her as having this whole other identity. And she talks about people referring to being a mother as a job, and she really takes issue with that, which I never had thought about it in this way, but she basically says, like, your job can come and go. Also, your job gives you money. And being a mom is a part of your identity, just like being black or being a woman. Like, it's something that once you become a mother, that's it. You're that for life. Do you relate to that as a working mom?
I think so. You know, I mean, I think that, like, a lot of times, like, being a working mom, it can be so tough. But also, like, being a mom that has to stay home all day with her kids, that is tough too, you know. And so I think that, you know, taking it away, like, you know, when people are like, oh, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom, like, that's my job. No, it's not.
It's not a job. But I think Shonda does a good job of saying, like, that's not to say that it's
say that,
that that's not hard work.
Yes.
She's saying, but that's not a job. You don't have a job, which is fine. Your life, though, your identity is a mother. And your occupation is not, is you're not, you're, it's not a job. You're not getting paid to do it. However, obviously, for a lot of people, financially, it makes sense to have a parent stay home with the children because childcare is expensive.
Some and, people work just to pay the nanny.
Right. Paying the nanny and childcare and, you know, having someone to pick up your dry cleaning and this and that. Like, there are, you know, and making dinner and, like, the cost of all of that. So it's, but she just makes the distinction that a job is a job and that could come and go and you could be fired from your job or you could quit your job and change your career and that all can change. But being a mother,
it never goes away.
It doesn't go away no matter what, period. Even if, you know, God forbid something happens to your child, you're still a mother.
Yeah.
And if you, if you're a mother who stays at home with your family and then you get a job, you're still a mother. It's not like all of a sudden, oh, I'm no longer a stay-at-home mom, so I'm no longer a mom.
No, that's something that's there. And I think that being a working mom, it's like a juggle because that's something that never is going to leave you. And however much work that is, you still have a job. That thing you have to dedicate all that other amount of time and energy to. So then it becomes like a juggle.
Right. And she talks about how I can't remember which actress it was. I think it's Amelia Shepherd from Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice, how she and Shonda would talk about the kind of the double standard that men have where it's like men, doesn't matter how high powered or low powered a man's job is, he is expected to have help, AKA at least the mother of his children. But, you know, no one ever looks at a man executive and says, oh, you have a nanny.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, of course the man has help and that women are expected to quote unquote do it all.
Right.
And she really, like, tries to dispel that there is no such thing as do it all.
You can't.
You can't. You can do for wherever you're succeeding in one part of your life, you're always going to feel like you're failing in another part.
100%.
Right.
That's like, well, that was probably my favorite part of the right. book, because I think it's something as a working mother, you feel that all the time. Because like, oh, you're doing great at work and you're busy and you're doing all this. And then you feel like, oh, but I haven't seen my kids all day and they're calling and wondering when mommy's coming. Right. You know what I mean? It's like right. the
balance.
Yeah.
And if you were a man, people would never judge you.
No one's asking you that. No one's right. even, it's not even a conversation.
Right. People wouldn't be like, oh, Mr. Ashley, how are you dealing with not putting your kids to bed?
Yeah.
Like that doesn't come up, mm-mm. which I think on one hand is totally unfair to women. But also on the other hand, it's kind of sad for men that like no one really cares to like have to answer for their kids. And I feel like I'm not a parent, but I feel like for people who are parents, men and women, mm-hmm. that your children are a sense of pride. And like when you talk about your daughters, you light up and you glow. And it's kind of sad to think that like men don't get that opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Slash, it's also fucked up that women have to bear the shame and the burden. Like, I see that there are multiple sides to this.
Yeah.
But like, your fiance, Deshaun, he's like amazing with your daughters.
Yeah.
But when he gets interviewed, people aren't like, so Deshaun, like, how do you play football and have daughters?
Right.
Or
no,
like,
no one asks him. But if I get an interview question, it could be one of the very first questions.
Right. And Deshaun's a really good dad.
Yeah.
And like he would probably like when you see yeah. him with his kids, it's like, wow, that's cool. Like yeah. he really has a special bond with the girls. So that is, it's just so crazy that like you are a working mom and Deshaun is a former NFL player, right? Like no one's like former NFL dad player, right? Like no one.
It is, you know, it's really interesting.
Right. Cause I feel like that's just part of your like brand identity is like you're a mommy.
Yeah.
And like no one is saying, you know,
yeah,
that to like I've never heard anyone say that. Like my husband and I are possibly don't get excited, mom or anybody possibly
We're
considering
excited.
Having children eventually, maybe one day. But people are like, oh, how are you going to do it when Jake's at work? I'm like, well, how's Jake going to do it when I'm at work?
Right.
Like, how come nobody cares how
nobody
Jake's going to do it?
Yeah.
So I think that that's like some really interesting stuff. And she talks a ton about like trying to let go of the guilt and the shame that other women give each other by saying out loud in her book, I have help and I understand that when I succeed in one place, I'm failing somewhere else. But also she tries to change the narrative around that, that it's not a failure.
It's not. And that's like what I always think about too, because it's like however much I work or I'm away from my children, like ultimately you're doing it for them.
For them, right. How do you get food on the table? How do you right. keep their life?
And then to just to be a role model to them, because like the last thing I want is daughters that just sit around and do nothing. So
right.
I'm not going to do that.
Right.
I'm going to show them how you can be a working mom and you can have kids
right.
and you can start your own business and you can go
right.
here and you can do this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Totally. Totally.
So I think.
Well, we yeah. both have moms who worked.
Yes.
Hard for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think that obviously, you know, that's we're in our 30s and our moms are older than that. I don't, my mom probably doesn't care. She's in her 60s.
Yeah.
So is your mom.
Too.
But when they were coming up, like they were what Shonda calls FODs, first only different.
Yeah.
Like my mom would be the only woman on her company's ski trips. And it would yeah. be, it would be like all the men who worked at the company and their wives. And then my mom and my dad yeah. was like the wife, right?
Yeah.
You know, and like Sue was the worker. And so I think that like that kind of stuff shapes how I look at moms, because I just assume every mom, quote unquote, yeah. could do it all or did it all. And I never yeah. held it against my mom.
I never, ever did.
There I never
was not
thought
a moment
to.
In my life where I was like, oh, never. And that's what keeps me going.
Right.
Knowing that the only memories that I have of my mom when I was young and she worked was like, wow, my mom's a boss. Like
right.
she's the regional manager. Like
right.
she gets to tell people what to do. That's cool. You
right.
know?
Totally.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt. Like I remember I used to go, and I also thought my mom's office was really cool because there was a lot of office supplies and I love a notepad and I love organized
you
pens.
You sound like Charlie.
But it's true. It's yeah. like women think that they're failing because they're doing, because they're prioritizing in whatever way they are in that moment, whether it's being at the dance recital and missing, you know, Kevin's whatever
right.
gig, or if it's being at Kevin's gig and missing the book report whatever performance. Yeah. I don't know what kids do. I don't have any. Do they do book report performances? If not, maybe. They should start. They should. But whatever it is,
yeah.
That like the kids see it all.
Yeah.
I don't have any memory, at least, I mean, I don't. I'm sure some people do, but I don't have any memory of something that my mom wasn't at that I'm like, oh, I can't believe my mom wasn't here. Right. And I'm sure she missed things.
Yeah.
But that has not stuck with me.
Right, because there were so many other things that she did that outweighed that. I mean, being a child, you're not going to hold on to those things. You're going to think about the other things.
Right. And one of the things that I, in the book that Shonda, because when I tell people about this book, they're like, oh, she says yes to everything. And I think it's really important to note that she doesn't say yes to everything. If someone was like, Shonda, do you want to do meth? She would be like, no. So she doesn't say yes to things that are like bad for her. She also doesn't say unconditional yes. So there's an example where a PTA mom is talking about a bake sale. And she's like, I love this part.
Good.
She's like, every parent needs to bring fresh baked food, and right. Shonda's like, nah, bitch,
like, fuck you,
like, I will bring what I will bring, and I will bring something, like, my kid will come with food,
yeah,
but like, you're not gonna shame me into baking something, like, I don't bake, and even if I didn't have a job and I didn't have kids,
I'm still not baking you some damn cookies. Yeah,
like, I will buy the brownies and they'll be delicious. And I really like that because she says yes, right, to like being there and like being a parent, yeah, and being present. But she still says no to shit that's like, this is ridiculous. Like I could have any job from being the executive on Grey's Anatomy to being, you know, the person who gets coffee for everybody at Grey's Anatomy. But like, I am not the woman who bakes fresh baked goods.
Right.
And like, she talks about someone else who works with her, who is the mom who like sews all the little things.
And that's because she likes to do that.
And that's because that's who,
yeah,
she is.
Exactly.
Exactly. And I think that's a really interesting point that I've not heard made. Cause like, the idea is that a working mom who's perfect bakes the brownies and sews the this and does the that. And Shonda's like, I never sewed a day in my life. So I'm not starting today.
Yeah.
Like, just because I have a daughter,
I'm going to do what is comfortable to me.
Right. I'm going to say yes to things, but I'm not going to say yes to being someone that I'm not.
Exactly. Because
her goal was to get back to her, not to become someone else by saying yes. So I think that's an important thing to note in the book.
Yeah.
My mom did sew little things on my dance costumes, but she's like a good sewer, but she would get really annoyed that she has to do it. She was like, you need to learn how to sew.
Know if my mom ever sewed it. Oh, my mom used to make my Halloween costumes.
That's good.
Yeah.
I see, if I have a kid, I'll be like, can I hot glue gun it on?
I'll be like, let's go on Amazon, yeah, and it'll be here in 2 days.
And it'll be perfect.
That's what it is.
And your kids always look great.
Yeah.
Like, they always have a theme that they're matching.
And
so
oops,
it works.
I forgot to bring something. I'll Uber the food there. Tell your teacher to come out in 2 minutes.
Have you actually done that?
No, but that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, Postmates or whatever.
Duh.
No problem. Okay, would you say that, like, when I read the book, I connected a lot with her before she started her year of yes, and I realized that I'm kind of a no person. What about you?
I'm 100% a no person.
Mm-hmm. No person.
I love to say no.
It's terrible. Where do you think that comes from? Like, do you think it comes from a place of, like, fear or anxiety?
I think mine comes from a place of not fear per se, maybe it's more anxiety, and I worry about everything. So like, mm-hmm, immediately if you're like, oh, let's go do this, and then I'm thinking about every bad thing that could happen if I did that, and I'm thinking about every great thing that could happen if I just stayed here.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
So that's mine.
I think mine comes from a place of fear. I also think sometimes mine comes from like a place of obligation. Like, I feel like I should be a certain kind of person. So by doing this thing that's out of my comfort zone, it's like I'm not doing the right thing.
Right.
Like, I'm being bad.
Like, I'm going to stay true to who I am.
Yeah. Like, I would never.
Yeah.
I can't even think of an example. But I also say no to things sometimes because I'm like, ugh, is it really going to be worth it?
That's how I am, because I'm tired all the time.
Sure.
So unless it's going to be worth it, then I'm going to be home.
But then I think about things like, this is a hard one, but can you think of anything that you were going to say no to that you said yes to and it ended up being really great?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
So I was like a heavy no person, and then I met Anthony, who is now my publicist and brand manager. And Anthony, like, became my year of yes person where she like makes me do stuff that I don't want to do.
Yeah.
So I've done a zillion things
right.
that I didn't want to do.
And they were fun.
And then they ended up being fun. Like all of a sudden now, like I never wanted to get my picture taken. I never wanted to be in front of a camera. And right. now she forced me to do it. And I actually really love it.
Right.
Or like I spoke on a panel.
Whoa. Oh, right. And you
about
did so
social
good.
Media. And I was so nervous. And I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to talk about? Like no one cares what I have to say. This is awful. And then after the panel, like a bunch of women came up to me and was like, I loved what you said about this and this. And I'm like, oh, people do like what I have to say.
That's so cool.
So, yeah.
So Anthony kind of moved you towards that. And she's great.
She's
fantastic.
Great. Yeah.
And she's like tall
she's
and beautiful.
Yeah.
And what I really like about her is she's tall and she'll wear a heel.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't care.
She doesn't care.
She has so much. She's so secure in
yeah.
her.
Just being yeah. around her, you feel it too.
Oh, yeah. And she'll pass it off on you.
Yeah.
Because like, she's given me. She'd be like, I don't care.
Yeah.
No, we're going. And this is what
totally.
We're going to do. And then she'll be like, if you're going to get embarrassed, just stand back there. I'll tell you when to come. Like we were in New York at Fashion Week. And I was like, they're not going to let us in. Do-do-do-do-do. She's like, okay, just stand over there. I don't want you to get embarrassed.
Oh, my
And then
gosh.
You see her and she's like.
Talking,
pulling
talking,
up
talking.
Her phone and doing all this stuff and like waving her hands and then she's like in the girl's face and then next thing you know she turns to me and like come on
oh my
and
god
and we just go right in
I
and
love
I'm like
it.
Okay
that's so good and
yeah.
one of the things that you probably didn't want to go to that you got to go to and you got to meet Chrissy Teigen
oh my god yes because I was at this party with Chrissy Teigen and I love Chrissy Teigen I have like a major girl crush on her
that's a book you love Her
yes.
cookbook.
Her cookbook was amazing and
yes.
so funny.
So
I love
good.
Everything
I love
about
her, cookbook.
Her. Oh my God. She's coming out with another one.
I know. I saw. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Anyways, Anthony did make me go to a party where Chrissy Teigen was there. And not only did she make me go to the party, but she made me go up to Chrissy and ask her for a picture, which is something I would never ever do. But then I had these amazing pictures of me and Chrissy Teigen and we're like looking at each other and like laughing. And
oh
I got
gosh.
To go home and show my daughter, Charlie,
because
she loves Chrissy Teigen.
And what does she call John Legend?
This is probably the best Charlie story there mm-hmm. is. We were watching a TV show and John Legend was on there and he was like playing the piano and like singing or something. I think it was an award show.
Okay.
And all of a sudden she looks at the TV and she's like screams with excitement. She's like, Mom, it's Chrissy Teigen's husband. And I died. It was like my greatest joy as a mother. Like, yes, I am passing on
yes.
my obsessions to her.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I love that. I love
yeah,
that. That's
that
so
is a good.
Good
story.
So you should say yes more.
I should. And I'm doing a much better job and
yeah.
see where it's got me. Now I have a candle line. Like
That's
I
true.
Never would have done that because
That's
I would have
true.
Been like, no one cares.
No one cares about my candle. And
yeah.
it smells so good.
It does.
I had a year of yes moment. So my other best girlfriend, Claire, she did like an eat, pray, love moment where she moved. She like took a leave of absence from her job and went to Asia and traveled around for like 3 months all by herself. And she was like, come meet me. And I was like, no. I can't.
And I said no too.
Yeah, I was too scared. I'm scared of flying.
I said no for Tracy.
I was
not
too
for
scared.
Myself.
I was far
oh, yeah.
and I had
Absolutely
to go by myself
not.
And it was really scary.
No.
And then something fell through that I had plans later on in that same time and I was like, "Oh, I guess I could go to Thailand and meet Claire." And so then I like booked my ticket and I was like, "Okay, I'm going to go." And then the morning I got up to go on the trip, I was crying so hard. I was weeping. It was like 4 a.m. I'm like woke my husband up and I'm like, I can't go. What if my plane crashes? Like I had all these so anxious the whole time, the whole flight, like 20 hours of travel, more 30 hours of travel, like the taxi once I got to Thailand, so scared. And then I got there and had like the greatest week. It was so great. And then when I got home, I was walking around with my chest puffed out because I was like, I just traveled to Asia all by myself. And like I wasn't by myself there, but still it was a total like
that
I was
so
saying
scary.
No the whole time. Like I was saying no, I didn't want to do it. Then I was like, oh, I can't get my frequent flyer miles to work. Oh, I can't go. Oh, I don't know. I can't find a hotel. I like and like the whole time. And then I get there and I see Claire and I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So
that was a big one because
that was a big one.
I not only were you saying no, but then when you said yes, I was saying no for you. I was like, no, you can't go. No.
And I went.
Great.
And Thailand was great. And
yeah.
like I ate delicious food and I got to spend a really fun week with my best friend. And, you know, it's our 15-year anniversary of being friends.
Aww.
So it was great.
That's so cute.
We've now known each other longer than we haven't. We've known each other longer than 15 years, but you don't need to know how old I am. Okay, fine. I just turned 32. Bye. Yes. Get out of my face. I don't care. But anyway, so that's like, I guess, my biggest yes.
That's huge.
That was would have been a no, and somehow I got myself to a yes. I didn't have an Anthony there.
No.
But do you think you would do a year of yes? Like a self-imposed?
I don't know. Honestly, like, I think that if I wasn't forced into my yeses by someone else, now I could say, like, yeah, I could do a year of yes. But, like,
right,
removing
Anthony.
Anthony, I don't know.
I'm going to do it. Well, I started it on my birthday. Did? Yeah.
Okay.
So last week.
I want to do it.
Last Sunday, right?
Yeah,
last Sunday, the 22nd of July. That's when I started it. And I mean, I haven't really had anything, you know, come up yet.
Throw something but, really terrible.
Well,
that
next time
at.
You invite me to something, I'll come. Yes. Because the reason I don't go to things that Ashley invites me to is because I feel that I don't have the right clothes, which I guess is a fear of like not being cool enough. But I guess who cares?
You always look so cute.
Well, I don't know. So,
oh, I can't wait to invite you somewhere really big.
Okay, let's do it. I'm gonna say yes. Okay. Obviously, you know, there are reasons for no, like a conflict, right?
Yeah.
But I think like just getting it in your mind that you're saying yes to things. One of the other things that Shonda does in the book, so aside from just blanketly like saying yes to things, she also finds ways to say yes to things that lead her to stuff that she wants in her life. So for example, she wants to be engaging more with her children. So she decides that she's going to say yes to mommy, do you want to play with me? So anytime her kids say that or something along those lines, she has an older daughter who she says it's like when she walks in my room, she puts everything down, she gets on the floor, she plays. And like just for 15 minutes, it's only 15 minutes because she's like, nope, my kids don't want to play with me for more than 15 minutes. But that's like her way of engage, like the way that she changes her habit is by engaging, is by saying yes to the idea of playing with your kids.
I loved that because like she set it up and she was in like a huge gown and like she was going to some gala or something. And then her daughter was like, will you play with me? And she literally did it. Yeah. And I thought that was really amazing and something that I want to apply in my life because I think sometimes you get so busy and you're like, oh, I'll be back.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like,
she's like, it's only 15 minutes, so you're 15 minutes late.
Yeah.
Like, so what? Who cares? Nobody cares. You're Shonda Rhimes. I mean, you're not.
I'm not.
But in her case,
exactly.
You know, and also, you know, aside from work, I can be 15 minutes late just about anywhere.
Exactly.
You know, like
anything social. It's like, okay.
Especially in LA, people are so late here.
And the kids' excuse is the greatest excuse there is.
To get out of something?
Well, to be late.
Right. Sure. Sure. Yeah. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
So, yeah. And she talks about, like, if you don't have kids, you have other things that are, like, your joy center, like the things that bring you joy. Like her producing partner, Betsy Beer, she says it's, like, probably her dog or, like, another friend. It's, like, this creative process. And so, yeah, I think that that's like a good thing to find, like in my year of yes, trying to find other things that I can be saying yes to that are leading me towards like who I would like to be, like a better version of myself.
Right.
Not to change myself, but just to be like more fully present in my own life, which was
like
the big
saying
takeaway.
Yes to reading books.
Like you saying yes to reading books and then finding ways to do it, which is me harassing you being like, did you read this book?
And I'm going to be like, yes, I did.
That's a no.
No, that's a lie.
She also lost a ton of weight.
Yeah, and I think that's amazing too.
That part was cool too. So she talks about like basically saying yes to being healthy because before she was saying yes to eating shit.
Yeah.
And like she says she lost over 100 pounds, like 115 pounds.
No, and you can tell because there's like the pictures in the book.
Yeah.
Like,
and she's not
the transformation.
Tall. She's like 5'4 or something.
No, and then, because that's just not even healthy.
Right.
So,
right.
I thought that was great.
I like that too. And like as somebody, I work in fitness, I work in health. So, like, obviously, I talk to a lot of people about their bodies. And I'm also very conscious of my body because I stand on a podium with a light on me in a dark room. So like I'm very conscious of how I look and I have a lot of, you know, things tied up in that. But hearing her talk about just like it's not easy and it doesn't always taste good. And I don't say no to anything, but I only allow myself, you know, to eat the things that I'm really craving. Yeah. So if I want a cookie, I can't have ice cream instead.
Yeah.
I have to either get the cookie or have nothing.
Yeah.
And like all that stuff, I really thought that was cool. And because losing weight is really hard. And anybody who's losing weight and doesn't say it's hard is either lying or they're not doing it the healthy way. Coke. Sure, or whatever drug you want. I don't know. But so yeah, that part, I really like that part.
And the other part that I really liked is when she talked about saying yes to no.
Oh yeah.
That was also good. Really great, especially like in some of her friendships and like right. the people that were weighing her down or not, you know, adding value to her life.
Right.
So it was like saying yes to no, like right. no, yes.
Sure. Like, for example, she, let me try to clarify.
Did that make sense, nope. guys?
she had a friend who basically was like not into her changing essentially. And like, as Shonda changed, she realized her friend was kind of like a Debbie Downer. So we'll just call her Debbie because I don't remember her actual name. And she went to her other really good friends and was like, hey, have you guys noticed that like Debbie's kind of been a downer? And they were all like, yeah, Shonda, Debbie's the worst. And then she's always been the worst. And yeah. Shonda literally had to be like, let me think about Debbie and think about all the things that I've decided about Debbie and then actually see if those things are true. And she realized those things weren't true and Debbie was the worst and Debbie wasn't happy for her and like wasn't really her ride or die, as she called it.
Yeah.
So she had to like cut Debbie loose. And yeah. then another woman was like asking her for money, which I yeah. was like, what?
Yeah, that was crazy
to me. Crazy to me. But she had to tell the woman no. Nope. And then the woman like snapped at her but she said like just the moment she said no, she felt like all this freedom.
Yeah.
Because she had feared that by saying like it's kind of the what we were talking about, but the opposite. Like she would have just said yes because it was the less scary option.
Thing to do,
but
yeah.
she gave herself permission to say yes to no so that she was worried she'd never talk to this woman again and this and that. But then as soon as she said no and the woman snapped on her, she was like, great.
I don't want to talk to you.
I now see who you are.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't suffer from that. I luckily or not luckily, I'm fine having difficult conversations and I'm fine saying no for things.
That's hard for me.
I think I got that from my dad.
Yeah.
My dad was big on, you're not going to walk all over me. Yeah. And if you try, not only am I not going to let you, but I'm going to tell you about yourself to your face right now. So I think for me, if someone does something wrong, like if someone wrongs me or I feel slighted, I will like pick up the phone yeah. the next day and be like, hey, you did this or you said this and this yeah. is how I felt and I want to give you an opportunity to clear the air, but this is how I experienced it and I'm not happy about it. So that part I was like, yeah, Shonda, you can go, do girl. It. I relate.
And then I was like, whoa, that's scary. You did that?
I always tell you to go tell someone about themselves.
I know. I've gotten better. I had to have a tough conversation yesterday and I literally had to start the conversation with, this makes me uncomfortable.
Good
I don't
you.
Like having conversations like this, but I have to.
That's so good.
So here's the deal.
So here's yeah. how you fucked up, my guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, look, it's important.
It's important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality, and that's why for almost 4 years now, I have been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 is constantly searching for how to do things better. They're at 52 iterations of their formula and counting. Their team is always trying to find better ways to source, test, and find the best quality ingredients available. So many people have asked me if AG1 is actually the real deal. And trust me, there's a reason why I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because they totally obsess over product quality, the standards of manufacturing partners, and sustainable practices. Taking care of my health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by covering my nutritional bases and setting myself up for success in just 60 seconds each morning. AG1 ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality, and I love that every scoop also includes vitamin C and zinc to support my immune system, which is so important for me, especially with the germs that the mini stacks have running around and going to a cesspool called preschool. I've stayed partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high quality product, and I genuinely look forward to drinking it every single day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/thestacks. That's drinkag1.com/thestacks. Check it out.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I don't know what else to talk about. I feel like we talked about everything.
Well, kind of.
Oh, I know. Oh. Page 2 of my notes. I have notes because I'm also that human that, like, I need to know where I'm going because I get stressed out and I could talk about anything for hours. So, one of the things that she talks about saying yes to is taking a compliment. Is that the hardest thing in your whole life?
I hate it.
It's so hard.
Every compliment is followed by, like, oh no, like, I just did it. Like, trying to downplay it and, like, throw it back at someone. Like,
it's terrible.
It's awful.
It's horrible. And also, she talks about how, like, you know, men never do that. This book is very feminist.
I'm here for
it. Without being feminist.
It wasn't aggressively feminist.
It's more just like pro woman, and like women deserve to be happy and to live the lives that they want to live and to be successful and to not feel shame around
and
that.
And that was also when she talked about marriage, because like, oh, yeah. I'm supposed to want to get married, but I don't want to get married.
And it's funny because she talks about how she doesn't want to get married, but she loves weddings, and she was like so into Betsy's wedding.
Yeah.
Also, I know Betsy a little bit because she frequents a place that I am employed by, uh-huh. And I can't wait to see her and be like, I read the book and I want to know what your wedding dress looked like.
That's so funny.
Her and her husband ride, and she's a really nice woman. She's very, as from what I can see of her, she's very, like,
is
understated.
There a picture of her in here?
There's not a picture. Yeah. She's literally, she also looks like the opposite of Shauna. Shauna talks about how they're opposites, and yeah. Betsy is her producing partner, but she's like tall, thin, very like fair skinned, blondish white gray hair, like, you know. But she does come in her TGI t-shirt sometimes, and I'm always like, Betsy. I totally got distracted. Oh, Shauna talks about how she loves weddings but, like, doesn't want to get married. And then in the compliment section, she talks about how, like, women are so quick to diminish themselves or, like, their success, and how, because they think that, she basically makes the point that the reason she was doing it is because she felt like people would think that she was cocky.
Yeah. Well, and there's a fine line. You always feel like if you're like, oh, thanks, like,
right.
But I knew that about myself.
Yeah. I also think, though, if you are a genuine human and someone gives you a genuine compliment, if you are genuine in thanking them, that won't come across. Even if they're like, you're a perfect person, and you're like, wow, thank you.
That's so nice.
Yeah, thank you. You don't have to be like, yeah, I know. Thanks for noticing. Like, of course, if someone said that, you'd be like,
never mind.
She's a jerk. But that's hard. She talks about saying thank you, smiling, and shutting up.
Yeah. and adding nothing to it or taking away nothing. That's difficult. But that's difficult. If you really think about it, it's very easy.
Right.
Just say thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, she was saying also one of the ways that she diminished her compliments, which I thought was like, of course, we all do this, is that she threw credit to other people. Mm-hmm. So it would be like, Shonda, congratulations on like owning Thursday night. And instead of being like, thank you, she would go, yeah, but I have so much help. And yeah, it's not just me. I have this great team of writers. And like, of course, that is all true. But in the moment, it's a thank you would have been great.
Yeah.
You know, and she talks about also how when you diminish a compliment, you're also diminishing the person who's giving it to you, because you're basically being like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Like, you're wrong in giving me that compliment.
So and that's a good way to look at it, because then it makes you feel like, no, you're right. Thank you.
Yeah. Like, thank you. It's so hard.
It's hard.
It's really hard.
I'm good at throwing it on other people too.
I'm going to, it's part of my year of yes. I'm going to work on it, saying thank you.
Thank you.
And smiling and saying nothing.
This podcast is amazing, Tracy.
Thank you. That actually does mean a lot to me. Yeah. I had an author from last week's episode, Michael Poor. He like was really awesome in sharing the podcast or whatever. And he reposted something that I posted about it on Facebook. And I commented like, thank you so much for sharing the book. And then he wrote back this like, big post on Facebook, like going through sex. He listened to the podcast and was like, I really like this part. And like, it's interesting that you guys talked about this. And it's so great that you like this little moment. I'm so proud of that moment. And also, I wanted to just comment on this thing that you said. And then he ended it with like, I really liked listening to it. Thank you for such a fun, fair, and like interesting conversation about my book. And I subscribed and I can't wait for more episodes. And I cried. Like, I got chills everywhere and I cried. And I just wrote like, I just was like, thank you.
Yeah.
But it's funny because you saying that to me, like this podcast is, you know, is like my baby out of nowhere. I just decided that I was going to do it. And everybody who like comments or like messages or anything on social media, I always am like so overcome.
Yeah. Because when there's something new and you really love it and then people are receptive and think you're amazing at it.
Right.
And of course it really is because I didn't know, and I don't really – I like podcasts. I don't listen to a ton, but of course I'm going to listen to yours. Right. And when the first time I heard your voice on the thing, I wanted to cry because I was like, oh my God, listen to her voice. Oh. She sounds so professional. It's so perfect.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to create something and put it out in the world and not know. So like hearing from people always really warms my heart. And I have been trying really consciously, even before my year of yes, to say thank you to everyone who listens and who comments and all that, because it does mean a lot. And like the reviews on Apple Podcasts, like I always encourage people to write them, but they actually really help the show. And like it makes my day. When I feel bad about myself, I'll like go look at them. Yeah. And like, I'm just like, that's so awesome that someone took that from my work. So for this author to say that back to me, I felt like, wow, that's really cool that I was able to give him a little bit of like what so many people have been giving me for this podcast, and like trying to just sit in the compliment of it all and just be like, thank you. Like, I'm so grateful. I'm so appreciative. And I don't often say that to you guys listening, but that's true. I am really appreciative, and I thank everybody who
listens.
Fan
love.
And it's great. You don't have to tell people about the podcast, and a lot of you do, and I'm going to cry, but I'm not.
Shout out to my friend Annie.
Oh, yes. Ashley's friend Annie loves the podcast, and she's awesome. Suka and Spice.
Suka and Spice. And on Instagram. She will be so mad that I called her Annie, because it's actually Anne.
Oh. I'm not going to get involved in that. Okay. So the last thing that we always talk about for every book is the title.
Hmm.
I feel like this title is super straightforward, but anything about the title? Well, here, let me read the whole title, because it has a subtitle. Year of Yes, How to Dance It Out, Stand in the Sun, and Be Your Own Person by Shonda Rhimes. What do you think?
Okay, I'm going to be honest.
Go ahead.
So I love this title. I wish I could have gotten more out of it. So like when she said how to dance it out, stand in the sun, and be your own person, I love that.
Right.
I don't know if I necessarily got all those things.
You didn't get the subtitle.
Yeah. Well, the year of yes is great.
Totally clear.
Yeah.
Well, how to dance it out and stand in the sun I know are both references. One's to Grey's, Stand in the Sun is to Scandal, because that's what Olivia always talks about.
See?
And then How to
so
Dance
much
It Out.
Smarter than
well,
me.
I love Shondaland. I love Grey's Anatomy. It's okay. My favorite show.
I don't watch Grey's Anatomy.
I've only seen every single episode, and anything that happened before, I won't spoil it. The main event that happened a few seasons ago, I went back and rewatched the whole show.
Is
I usually
that when they got in the plane crash?
No, later than that. But we can't, I don't want to spoil anything.
Fine.
But anyways, I love Grey's. So How to Dance It Out is Grey's. How to Stand in the Sun, I'm pretty sure, is Scandal, and I'm assuming possibly that Be Your Own Person is maybe from Private Practice, her other show.
Oh, okay. But, fine. It's
well,
good.
I agree,
good.
Though. If you don't know those things.
Yeah, I didn't.
She doesn't
those
really talk
totally,
about it.
Those totally went over my head.
I agree. She could have done more about, like, she does talk about Dancing It Out, but How to Stand in the Sun, I feel like she could have. She kind of,
I guess maybe also like, I mean, yeah. She talked on that, like
about like the power posing and like the badassery.
Yeah, you're right. And like accepting your
accepting compliments.
Cause that's, yeah. Okay, fine.
I don't know. I agree with you. I think that the Year of Yes is amazing.
Yeah.
But I think that the subtitle is a little, is a,
but
maybe a little inside.
Now that we're talking about it actually
it makes
is
sense.
Great.
Okay, yeah. Shonda, you win again.
Good
Perfect.
Job, Shonda. Perfect.
Oh, the only, wait, I have one more thing I want to talk about. She gives so much love to Christina Yang, which is a character on Grey's Anatomy, played by Sandra Oh. Congratulations, Sandra Oh, on your Emmy nomination. First ever Asian American woman to be nominated for an Emmy in a lead actress role.
Whoop, whoop.
Ever, period. Which is amazing. And Sandra Oh is amazing. And she
is
just
good.
Turned 47.
She looks great.
Amazing. She looks ridiculous. And she's a phenomenal actress. And I just loved all the Christina Yang stuff because Christina Yang is my favorite character.
Okay.
I just love
Christina
Yang. She
did. It was a lot of Christina Yang.
So much and so good.
It made me want to watch the show.
Ugh, you have to.
But it's so many seasons.
You're not reading.
True. So if I watch Grey's Anatomy, will that give me a pass on my reading?
Maybe.
Okay.
We'll discuss in detail later.
Okay.
Okay. Well, Ash, do you have anything else you want to add?
No. Thank you for having me. This was fun and not as scary as I thought.
See, look at you saying
See,
yes.
I said yes.
You said yes to this.
And
I
look
begged
at me
you.
Now.
I actually didn't give
now
you an
I'm gonna
option.
Now I'm going to start showing up to every podcast and
I
being like,
wait.
Don't you want my opinion?
Okay. I didn't give you an option. Okay. I was like, Ashley, I'm starting this podcast and I know you don't read a ton, but I'm making you come on because I know you read to the girls and I think that's good enough. And now look at us. We're like
We're
2 hours into content.
We're amazing.
So thank you for coming on this show.
Thank you.
And sharing your story and reading a whole book with me and talking
I did
about it.
It.
And of course, listeners, if you guys have any feedback or comments or you just want to engage with us, I have all of Ashley's social media accounts down there in the show notes, everything we talked about this week, as well as shopanstyle.com where you can get Ashley's delicious smelling candles. So that's all there in the show notes. Other than that, thank you guys so much for listening. And I will be back next week with our, well, I won't tell you our guest. It's an exciting guest. It's a guy. He's awesome. You'll have to go on social media in a few days and it'll be up. Okay. So thank you guys so much for listening and I'll see you in the stacks. Thank you all so much for listening to The Stacks this week. That does it for us. Thank you to our guest, Ashley North. Make sure to check out her candles at shopanstyle.com. Also, reminder, the Patreon Stacks tote bag giveaway is going on now through August 16th. Go to patreon.com/thestacks, contribute what you can, and you're entered to win a Stacks tote bag. I'll be giving away 3 of those on August 16th. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, that's all. Our graphic designer and creator of our tote is Robin McCright. Our theme music comes from Tagirigis, and this show was created and produced by me, Tracy Thomas.